7 worst food and medicine ingredients of 2019. So it says number 1, cancer-causing GMO soy and plant-based burgers, like maybe the Impossible Burger. Then it says number 2, cancer genes and vaccines. I have a previous video about that, right? How much was it? Like 260, I think? I don't know. How about you watch the video and tell me, because I forgot. I could always look back on the video. But number 3, glyphosate in nearly all California wines and kids' cereals. Yeah, especially cereals. You see things like oats that are high in glyphosate. And they tend to be very cross-contaminated oats, even though oats don't have gluten. You know, they tend to have gluten because they're grown next to crops that have gluten. They're owned, particularly like General Mills, for example, big, agribusiness, of course. So they're going to spray a lot of glyphosate, even though they claim it's heart healthy and all that. Okay, most wheat products are going to have a glyphosate. A lot of GMO products will have glyphosate as well, and that is also considered Roundup. It's an herbicide, and it helps with yield for farmers, right? So then we see canola oil in nearly every pre-mixed salad at nearly every supermarket's rapeseed-laden food bar. That's actually the other name for rapeseed. They call it that in Europe particularly. They call it canola oil here in U.S., right? And that's like a more of an omega-6 oil, so it could be inflammatory, especially if it's refined and of that sort. But generally speaking, we want to stick with like maybe a coconut oil, olive oil, ghee, grass-fed butter, something of the sort. People may have different preferences around that, but that's growing in popularity now, at least. Then we see mercury, which we see in the flu shots, as mentioned before. We see chlorine in U.S. chickens. I also mentioned arsenic, so we clearly have a big problem on our hands. And, meat is something that's highly consumed among people. High protein consumption, less water, more stress on the kidneys, stuff like that. Then we have artificial pink dye in red meats and salmon, things like sodium nitrate, which can color and taste and preserve. It's like a win-win-win for the food companies to put that in the products, and we know it causes cancer. It's a known carcinogen. Actually, I have an article about that soon. But talking about fats, right? Talking about fats like canola, but this is a healthier fat, like avocado, for example, as you see in the picture. It says a study found that women who consume a low-fat diet experience no extra health benefits. In fact, they found that healthy fats are more so essential for a healthy life, and we're starting to notice this more as we move into the next centuries. Maybe some people will disagree, maybe more toward the vegan spectrum, and I could see why they believe that, but they don't cut out fats entirely, right? And they realize that maybe a lot of the scientific information we were fed in the 80s and 70s about fats has been wrong because it didn't take into account other factors in their life, such as the inflammatory things. And I mentioned this before, but like things like smoking and the other inflammatory oils and the differences, right? Like you can't say coconut is the same thing as meat, even though they're the same type of fat, right? So then it says what happens when to fat-soluble vitamins. So if you aren't consuming sources of fat, it could lead to deficiencies in certain vitamins because fat actually helps you absorb certain vitamins. And that's why there's a lot more higher fat diets now on the market, and people are going to these diets. Not that they're entirely safe, but the fact that people are realizing the misinformation has been fed to them over the years, and now they're waking up and seeing the effect it has on their health. So black kosher is better than Prozac for menopause. So if you want me to do a video comparing, let's say, herbs to drugs, because we can actually see that they're competitive, then you can always let me know. Because there is quite some interesting things out there when you're talking about herbs compared to common cancer drugs and without any adverse side effects. It says this double-blind placebo-controlled study found that black kosher was equipotent to mixed estrogen drugs for relief from vasomotor symptoms and improving markers of bone metabolism, a factor related to osteoporosis. And that's also very common in women, by the way, who have to deal with the menopause, right? So that's pretty cool. And again, no adverse effects, which is not equal to, let's say, the drug it was compared to was Premarin, I believe it was here. They have a lot of evidence on this page, GreenMedInfo. They also have another article on how cumin spice works better than obesity drugs. It says in a study of 78 overweight people between the ages of 18 and 60, participants received one of three treatments: cumin capsules, placebo, or Lestat, brand names Ali and Xenical, 3 times a day for 8 weeks. Compared with the placebo, both cumin and Olestat resulted in similar significant decreases in weight and body mass index, but the cumin also led to a significant reduction in insulin levels that wasn't seen with the weight loss drug or placebo. Now, in case you don't know what cumin is, because some people don't use spices, it's a spice, and it's often used as like a taco spice, for example. It tastes like tacos, maybe. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's got more of a... it says aromatic up here. I'm trying to look for a word. I don't know. Warm, earthy flavor. Curries, chilies, yeah, very common for that, but it might provide more of a nice warming feeling, especially for the winter. I would probably recommend that if you are in the winter seasons like me up north. So then we have in another study 88 overweight or obese women, and in it only those in the cumin group experienced weight loss and related benefits. They also saw reductions in cholesterol and triglycerides, reductions in LDL cholesterol, increases in HDL, and significantly reduced weight, BMI, waist circumference, and fat mass. So amazing. Amazing stuff there. Then we see sugar linked with high blood pressure. Is anybody surprised? Some people may be surprised. Some people may not. It's always good to put it out there, right? Everyone knows that added sugar found in items such as ice cream, cookies, and cakes is the prime subject in health problems such as diabetes and obesity. But what many don't realize is replacing those sugary treats with whole fruit can actually help to lower blood pressure. So maybe naturally adding in sweet fruits, sweet vegetables too, to get out away those cravings for sugar, sugary products. So don't also forget about the drinks, right? Sugar sweetened beverages, SSB. I talk about this in the seminar if you want more information on that. It is a growing concern for sure, sugar, because it's hidden in a lot of things, and I go into depth about that in the presentation. It's something we definitely want to tackle, especially I do with my clients, is tackling sugar, right? Where is it hidden? You can see it on the ingredient labels. You could also see fake sugars, which also aren't very that good, and comparably can cause cancer and other things. Want to stay away from that. Get things from nature as real as possible, right? That's what the message of the channel is about. So how to set and respect your food boundaries throughout the holiday season. It says Evelyn Triboli, co-author of Intuitive Eating, who created Intuitive Eater's Holiday Bill of Rights. It says you have the right to honor your fullness, even if that means saying no thank you to a dessert or a second helping of food. It is not your responsibility to make someone happy by overeating, even if it took hours to prepare a specialty holiday dish. Okay, so of course you don't have to, you can honor your fullness, right? Of course. But maybe consume foods that have fiber so you do stay full. Maybe drink more water so you do stay full. Maybe take some time between servings if you do. So just keep in mind these things. Maybe for dessert, you do choose fruit instead of these sugar beverages and sugary products, and processed products too. And processed products are more likely to have sugar in it. So then we see it is not your responsibility to make someone happy by overeating. So look, no, it's not your responsibility to do anything for anybody. Don't feel obligated to do something that your body's telling you otherwise. Listen to your body. That's what this all comes down to. It says you have the right to say no thank you without explanation. Of course, you have the right to stick to your original answer of no, even if you are asked multiple times. So maybe you need someone to give you that push, right? That's what health coaches do. So I encourage that. No thank you, really. No thank you. No thank you. No thank you, really. Be frankly about it. You have intentions, you have goals in your health, and you want to reach them, right? It says another article here, chicken soup to soothe the common cold. Well, what I'm going to tell you is, well, if chicken soup is good, which it is actually, in many cases, you can maybe try chicken bone broth, more potent version, if you will. Then we see lack of sleep for nurses could be affecting patients. So nurses in these hospitals, these like internment camps, if you will, concentration camp, I don't know how you want to put it. A lot of people go there, right? It's concentrating mass amounts of people. I didn't mean that in in other terms, right, what you maybe thought originally, but in a way also too, because we're giving people drugs, we're treating them like a number line, you know. We need to have that individualized approach. These nurses are overwhelmed. Why can't they hire some health coaches to get that individualized approach, be there with the patient, you know, address these problems, talk with them for quite some time, you know. Maybe that would help out and release some tension on the nurses. Maybe some hospitals should consider doing that, because that may help. And a lot of hospitals actually are starting to do that. So it says, on average, nurses report getting just under 7 hours of sleep prior to work day and more than 8 hours prior to a non-work day. Less sleep by nurses was associated with lower measures of patient safety and quality of care. Patient safety may be compromised by tired, overworked nurses. You know, why would you ever want somebody to not be there for you? And that's essentially what it is. Like, they're just not fully present because they're not fully awake as they should be. And so, you know, overworked to help someone's life, that's you're talking really, really compromising that person's life. So instead of, you know, compromising these nurses, bring in different people, bring in health coaches, for example, who can motivate these people to maybe leave the hospital, you know, and that will give more motivation on top of prevention, and not just treatment, and not just having to stay there that whole entire time, and having the motivation, the mindset that you can still manifest change within the body for the better. Like that, right? So then we see Kearney Middle School in Commerce City to close Friday due to widespread illness. We see schools growing in illnesses, and this is a school actually going to close. So sickened about 20% of the school's roughly 800 students. So it just shows you the breach upon our immune system, especially at the young age, as I mentioned before. And the fact that, how are we going to do this? Are we going to sterile the whole school? I don't know if that's necessarily helpful, being that it's not going to make our immune system stronger. Maybe change the food that's there. Maybe grow some food for the school. Maybe put some plants in the school. I mean, think about other things, because just washing your hands and creating a sterile environment is not going to grow the immune system. It's only going to keep bad viruses away, but it's not going to grow the immune system, which is really the root to it, because all these people's immune systems are breached. They're vulnerable. And if their immune systems are actually strong and able to handle it, and they have the resources able to handle it, then those diseases and different things will only make them stronger in their immune system. So thinking about it like that, just change the way we look at everything is the way we're going to manifest the change in this life. So how Germany averted an opioid crisis. If you guys want to see videos on how other countries maybe do better than the US, please also let me know, because that's a really interesting topic, right? Why is it that the US has all these problems but Germany doesn't? It says, in 2016, 10 times as many Americans as Germans died as a result of drug overdoses, mostly opiates. 3 times as many Americans as Germans experienced opioid addiction. It says, unlike in the United States, where these pills are commonly dispensed after surgeries and medical procedures, opioids have never emerged as a frontline medical treatment in Germany. They're more responsible, right? Among the most important reasons we do not face a similar opioid crisis seems to be a more restrained practice of prescription. So it says doctors, maybe, you know, instead of going by the textbooks, they're looking at the patient. Maybe, you know, instead of going by all the regulation stuff, they're looking at it themselves for the whole picture. You know, regardless of what regulations there are or whatever, why can't you, as whoever you are, a physician, person, look at the whole situation and say, what is it that I'm doing to my body? What is it that are my options? And assess it from there. Or are we just going to jump to the quickest thing that is thrown our way and just go with it, right? Or just abide. So it says here, among the most important reasons we do not face a similar opioid crisis seems to be a more responsible, doctors must first try alternative treatments, which the nation's universal health insurance system typically covers. Alternative treatments, yeah, that sounds like cancer, doesn't it? They have different treatments, not just chemotherapy. Then we see before prescribing opioids, physicians must get special permission and screen patients to make sure they aren't at risk for addiction. So both measures are addressed right away there if they're going to prescribe opioids at all, because it says here in Germany they prescribe opioids if only all the other drugs don't work, so it's their last resort. It says Germany's health system, which emphasizes primary care and keeps cost sharing low, people who are prescribed opioids are more likely to keep up with their doctor visits, and if they exhibit warning signs of addiction, physicians have a better chance of noticing. So they're more there for the patient, right? That sounds familiar, right? Health coach is more there for the patients because a doctor doctors don't have the time to be there for the patients as much. So the health coach provides that time that maybe the doctor does not have, for example. So then we see here, even when people here get addicted, they are far less likely to die as a result. Money regarding treatment is really not an issue here as well. They say they have safe injection sites and they have protocols, specific protocols in place to prevent overdose. And they have a multi-pronged approach. So they have multi-pronged, right? Can we have different physicians? Can we have different ways of treatment? Can we have different treatments in general? So that is something we don't have in the U.S. If it's just an allopathic traditional doctor system, you see your doctor, you get a drug, you see your doctor, you get a drug, and it's just a drug, but there's no other options. And in health coaching is not even an option. People don't know about it. People don't know about functional doctors or naturopathic doctors, for example. That's not even in the question. People don't even know about this, actually. So it's incredible to me. But yet we see such great change in the people that do go to these people. And they're attacked on the media, right? We see that time and time again. So we see magic mushroom treatment for depression one step closer after psilocybin passes safety tests. So magic mushrooms, we see that used for cancer treatment and stuff like that. Mushrooms have so much potential, of course. And so I mentioned depression, anxiety, and other mental problems before. Maybe that's one treatment that we can use is mushrooms. But, you know, it's all sorts of different natural medicine. You know, when people talk about CBD and marijuana, for example, that's just one thing that you can do. There's so many different herbs, so many different natural plants out there. We have much more potential than we think. And our body has way more potential than we think to heal itself. So FDA investigating diabetes drug metformin for traces of cancer-linked chemical NDMA, which they say is nitrosa. Nitrosamine sounds familiar to sodium nitrate, which is in pink meats and what we mentioned before, right? And that actually turns to carcinogens right in the stomach. Sodium nitrate, which again is used for preservation, taste, and color. And it says here there's nitrosamines in drugs. They say it's in Zantac. They have to do this big investigation on several companies such as CVS and Aerobindo Pharma. And there's so much concerns around it. They have to do a whole investigation onto this. Sounds like the vaping, right? Where, okay, now we got to do investigation on because we're seeing all these issues. Why do we wait so late in time to do these investigations? And now we have investigations on like how many things at once and how could we stay focused and know that everything that's going on. I mean, we try so hard to take control and it only puts us in a worse and worse situation because we are controlling the system. And it's just a system that is not clearly working and it needs to change. Maybe the answer doesn't rely on drugs at all, which is why, you know, I'm promoting the message that I promote here. So then we see not just counterfeit legal THC vaping products linked to lung illnesses. So what this is saying, and I have a vaping documentary that you can watch as well, all evidence-based, and I will be narrating that soon. It says, new evidence show that legitimate THC vaping products are also making people sick. So meaning that illegal off-brand vapes aren't just the only products to blame, like the CDC is saying. It could actually be the products that are more so legal, if you will. And, you know, to be honest, there's not much regulation overall in this industry anyways. It says it's left unregulated. There's a lot of products online. If you Google search, let's say, Juul or Dank Vapes, which, you know, Juul is, let's say, a real company, and then you see Dank Vapes is more of like a shadow company you don't know. It's like both of them have tons of other websites that look the same but aren't actually real. And then it's like, who didn't do you trust? And is this one big scheme or bigger agenda? I mean, I don't know what it is. How about you tell me? It says, when heated, those liquids can turn into different things. So taking into account not just the ingredients, but the fact that it changes throughout the body, the delivery, the materials, There's so much to take into account. That's why I made a documentary on it. It says, in addition to the oils and metals, there may be other contaminants that we don't know about yet because the products are so new. And especially if new more and more products they keep coming out. And with all this hysteria lately, people saying, mine is safer than this. This is not real. This is not real. This is the fake one. And the FDA saying, well, we should take more control over it. And then other people saying, well, we should ban it overall. And then meanwhile, the tobacco companies own the very same vaping companies. I'm confused here. Could someone please tell me what's going on? To me, it seems like one big divide and conquer scheme. You know, it's very fishy that, let's say, Juul Labs, for example, which is the number one vaping company, they had people leave the company, and these big tobacco giants took over that company, and then they fired a whole bunch of people, and that was right when this big lung scare happened. So it's like a kind of power grab, if you will. Then we see study suggests exercise labels on food could tackle obesity. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, no. Just putting exercise labels on calorie products is probably not going to help. Yeah, maybe it'll encourage some people to exercise and actually think that they can burn as much calories as, you know, they are exercising. But that's a common myth that I actually debunk in the seminar that I did. That you can watch, call it again, the Shocking Health Statistics Seminar. And that is just incredible to me in the fact that, you know, we want to look at calories, but the roots of calories is carbohydrates, it's fats, it's proteins. We want to look at calories, but yet there's so many things else in their life, like exercise, spirituality, relationships that affect people's health more. People need guidance. Just general foods, like in general, if you're consuming unprocessed foods, they're naturally lower in calories. They're naturally healthy for you. They naturally have nutrients, you know, instead of just, you know, calories, nutrients, which aren't always on the nutrition label, which they really aren't. You know, the nutrition label is only fats, proteins, carbohydrates, but they don't list all the minerals and the vitamins and the thousands of plant compounds that are in there, which can actually help things like cancer potentially. So not just obesity, which is connected to everything, right? And maybe just drinking water and other things can help as well. And that's not going to be mentioned on the label because, again, what could some number anyways help you for that such? So suicides and overdoses, among other factors, fueling drop in U.S. life expectancies. It says it's official. Americans are dying much sooner in life. Maybe this is part of some bigger depopulation agenda. We see how everybody is having these mental issues, as I mentioned before. So, and hopefully it's, you know, it's not going to a younger age. I just, you know, you would like to hope not, but you see it in the statistics. You see all these other things happening. You don't want to see everything just tumble down from what we've grown, right? But maybe it's a cycle, you know, maybe it's a cycle that we see here, and it's just crazy. It says the root causes of the problem, which stem from the decline of the working class, the erosion of families, communities, and social capital, and an inadequate public healthcare system, these are not going away. It says even worse, those problems are likely to spill over into the next generation. Many of those who have died from death of despair or who are traveling that path will leave behind children stressed from experiences that include general neglect and witnessing their parents' overdoses. So basically saying that what's happening now is going to happen later on, and you know, it's a domino effect. Because if one person overdoses, it causes another person to go into a sort of depression. So not good. We need to tackle it right there and then. We need to provide more guidance. Maybe, you know, instead of the phone, instead of all these other factors, we introduce people who can guide them, like their families, and bring these families back together, perhaps. And it doesn't have to be psychiatrists. It can be everyday people. It could be friends. It could be families taking the extra step to bring those families back together, creating families for themselves. And then, you know, talking to neighbors. Neighbors is part of that community, right? But those are the root problems of a society that we see now, because that is part of our nature that has been lost. And so, of course, then we're going to see a lack in life expectancy, because that's what brought us here, actually. Having those things is what brought us here. Not good to see, not good to see at all. And for more information on maybe this depopulation agenda that we see, where there's so many people potentially going down this cycle of life where maybe we're not going to be growing as fast as like Nigeria, for example, which may outnumber the US population. Maybe we're going to see a lot of things happen, especially in America, where we see that healthcare is a big problem already. Eight wellness trends we'd like to leave behind in 2019. Number one, it says putting CBD in absolutely everything. I don't see what's the issue with that necessarily. Now, of course, yeah, we shouldn't have to put it in absolutely everything, if that's the connotation here. But it's not that we have to be so skeptical of this, but we should be aware, right? They say CBD is largely unregulated, so maybe that has to do with the vaping as well, because we see THC, which is a component of marijuana, in different vapes. Maybe that's related to this. So maybe that's what they're trying to say. IV drips, well, they use that in other countries, right? IV, like vitamin C for cancer. So just because celebrities are doing it does not mean that it's necessarily bad. Like, these things are good to an extent. We just need to be aware of what they're doing to our body. We're just going over, what is celebrity wellness sites? I can agree with. We don't always need celebrities telling us what to do, because there's some pretty crazy stuff here. I'm not going to read some of the stuff that's actually mentioned here. Then it says unsupervised microdosing. Of course, we need guidance. I mean, I kind of mentioned that, didn't I? And then it talks, though, about psychedelics and how we should be careful of using psychedelics. We should probably be careful of everything we do, not just psychedelics, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't use psychedelics at all. Maybe they do have a place, because again, we could have those options available, like the CBD, like psychedelics, like the mushrooms, which might be kind of similar. Excessive fasting, that can be an issue if people maybe don't know what they're doing. By excessive, you're making a very broad statement. Intermittent fasting is a very specific type of fasting, and certain people may not know what they're doing. Maybe certain people need guidance. So it's going to depend. And it says that fad dieting with severe calorie cutting in an attempt to lose weight can be damaging to the body. I can agree with that. You're really breaching upon your nature, doing something invasive, where it can instead be more of a natural guiding process. And you got to keep in mind, right? You're taking away your everyday life. You've been eating every day normally, and all of a sudden you just stop eating. Maybe you want to transition gradually, because that could be part of the issue, is just immediately changing. Maybe you want to just gradually grasp on, so you're not just going right at it. Wellness apps, to an extent, it says. I mean, like, everything's to an extent. But okay, wellness apps. Certain apps may say this or that, and then they may actually have people that can try to help out, but they're not certified, for example, in their field. Like, I'm actually certified as a health coach. Certain people might not be, and they claim to be. So that wouldn't be good, right? Then we have essential oils. What's wrong with essential oils? No. Okay, not using too much. Again, to an extent. Says, on the other hand, they can harm you either, unless you waste too much of your money on them. What? So, like, only money? Like, we're talking about health, aren't we? Then we mentioned health. I mean, vaping. We mentioned vaping as a trend, and it says if all the flavors are banned, you may see a dip in vaping in 2020, and how there's consequences with that. We might want to be more careful with vaping. So this isn't generally a bad list. I think it's some things that are pretty actually useful to say, that are trends that could be potentially important to look upon. But it says, hello keto diet. It doesn't mean that keto is perfect. It says in sober curiosity. So more scientific research before any definitive conclusions, of course. But maybe we don't need scientific research. Maybe we just need the truths that are in nature, which I say is promoted not with science, but rather just observation. And what is that? Again, not doing something too invasive, just being aware of what we're consuming, what exactly it is. Is it fit for consumption? Like, if you're vaping, you're automatically doing something that kind of goes against what you were meant to do, which is consume food through the mouth, chew it through the digestive process, and can go through the esophagus, through the digestive system, things like that. But instead, bypassing it, going right to the lungs, you know, that could be an issue. And then, you know, taking certain flavors when actually our body craves that actual flavor in the food itself. So let's say it's blueberry flavor, maybe you want blueberries. Picking up onto those trends would be really, really important. So why some reusable water bottles are more expensive than others? Doesn't really matter to me. It says, you know, BPA free. Well, what about BPS? All these expensive brands of water, look, $13, $35, that's crazy. But then see here, look, findaspring.org is actually a really cool website that actually says, our community curates a global map of natural, cold, and hot springs, which enables self-sufficiency enjoyment of nature. So here, it's actually nature actually filtering the water for you. It's water filtration through the earth naturally, which actually provides you with the minerals, provides you with the sun UV light. It goes into the water, for example, and that is natural water from the earth. It's nice and refreshing, you know, obviously if it's cold. And they have a whole list of springs. It's free water. You know, you bring your jug and you can fill it up. And that's just amazing because water should kind of be free, right? It's part of the world. It's part of nature. It's one of the most healing things. It should be accessible everywhere, but it's one of our most scarce resources, believe it or not. And it's something that is often contaminated. So finding these natural spring sources that actually filter himself is amazing. And that's how I feel about it. So then we see here that the flu vaccine is being pushed onto us. Because we see all these flu cases, they're always saying flu cases, like, make sure you get a flu shot, make sure you get a flu shot. But keep in mind, this year's so-called flu shot is last year's flu strain. So just keep that in mind. That's a common claim, at least made in my field of medicine, is that it's not actually maybe helping you because it's not this year's flu strain. It takes them a year to develop it. So it says they might be better for the planet, but are plant-based burgers good for you? Well, let's think about it. Their very nature, their process to just putting a whole bunch of things together. But is it real food? So it says it's genetically modified version of heme, an iron-containing mineral from soy plants. So modified soy, which is basically in most of Americans' processed food supply anyways. So okay, yay, it's vegan, but it doesn't mean it's necessarily healthy or not processed, or that it's not inflammatory, because we know soy is a high inflammatory omega-6, especially if it's processed and not in its whole, like, plant-based form, which actually could be very nutritious if it is. So then, you know, it looks like a regular burger, so it's appealing to people. It's got the same, like, blood feel to it, and they talk about the calories and all that. Again, you know, focusing on calories, which isn't always bad, but again, getting down to the root causes, does it come from nature, isn't meant for consumption, that's really going to determine if it's actually healthy for us and if it's actually going to give us good nutrition. So we see here, there's another burger brand that has basically beets, brown rice, red pepper, quinoa. But why can't we consume those things by themselves? Why can't we just consume beets, brown rice, red pepper, quinoa, black beans, jalapeno, and topped with wheatgrass, tomato, onion, avocado, and sprouts? Why can't we consume that without having it put into a burger all mashed up and processed with all these things added into it to make it bleed? And, you know, is it, do we really need to go to that extent? Is it that hard to, you know, go vegan that we have to eat something impossible? Because really, if it's impossible, it probably shouldn't be possible, to be honest with you. It doesn't exist within nature. It's something we're creating in a lab. If you look at where it's being created, it does not look natural to me. Just look at the place and the environment, all these big machineries and stuff. That's not going to work for me. I'm sorry, but there's no love put into the food itself, which is vitamin L. And there's no real plant-based nutrition looking at that, you know, because you're still going to put it with a bun, which is potentially high glycemic, and there's not going to be much vegetables on the plate. So, you know, legumes, which may actually bind to nutrients in the body, you know, is not being good because it prevents the absorption of nutrients, but legumes are good to consume. I'm just saying that there's not a lot of vegetables present. Like, let's say if I'm looking at that burger right there, it's like, it doesn't look like there's a lot of vegetables, maybe just the lettuce, but it looks like iceberg, so you're really not getting anything except maybe just calories, empty calories, which is what a lot of processed foods are. So again, am I surprised? So that will be it for this week's news. I know that was a lot, but that is something that we had to go over because the media is not going to go over it for you. So we see that Brighteon is exploding, and that is a website where you can see my video content as well. I'll have that linked right in the description for you guys so you can go to it. You'll see a lot of alternative content there in case you don't want to see a lot of the mainstream content that you're always constantly bombarded with by the media, and you want to seek out opinions that actually have been censored and not promoted because they don't want those ideas out in the public. They don't want people questioning what's going on in society. So it's important that we do question it if we do want to connect the dots like we have done here on this channel. So if you appreciate the mission, you can subscribe or whatever you want to do. Thank you very much for watching. Nature is the answer. Corey Edmund Angelot, thank you very much.